morning, family. Amen, amen. We are so thankful for who God is in this place. It is great to see you this morning. It is great to be here. Go ahead and say hello in the stage chat. There are two chats, one for event, one for stage. Go ahead and say hello into the stage chat and just greet everybody who is here. In a moment, we're going to enter into our lover song. Good morning, Melody. So great to see you. Amen. Marvin here is Lady Rochelle. It is wonderful to worship with you today. I'm going to open with Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. How many of you can testify that the Lord is good for all that he's brought you through this week? I heard a number of you talking about midterms and different things that were coming up in your family and in your jobs and just in life and how you're dealing with quarantine and the pandemic and racial strife that is going on. It says, for the Lord is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Certainly, God, we praise you and we thank you. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship. God, we pray just for your presence to fill this place, to fill the space wherever we are, God. We invite you to inhabit our praises. We invite you to inhabit the earthly temple, dear God, that you would be here, that we might just praise you and glorify you and collectively by one spirit lift up your name and worship you and adore you and thank you for who you are, who you've been, and who you shall be. We thank you that you are a God who does not change, but you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Family, we thank you so much for being here. We thank you for being on. I greet everyone in the family, those who are visiting and just here for the first time. It's just so great to be with you. Sister Sharnice, so great to have you here. It is just wonderful to be in this place. I greet you. Now, this is a time during our time together where we do something called Love Assault. And that is an opportunity to have brief 2-minute conversations to check in with others who are here to say hi. So I invite you to go to a section that is called networking. If you're on a laptop or a larger screen, you should see it on the left-hand side. If you were on a mobile device, it might be at the bottom. If you go to networking, there's something where you just click and it says it'll connect you to somebody. You can share your camera, you can share your audio. If for some reason that's not working, refresh your page, okay? Or you may need to log out and log back in. If you were on the iPhone, then use Safari on the iPhone. For everyone else, Chrome browser should work. But go ahead and have a good time, and we will invite you back here about 11:15. So you only have a chance to talk with maybe 2 or 3 people, but go ahead and enjoy yourself in our Love Assault. Amen. Amen. We're going to invite Lady Rochelle to lead us in our morning song of worship. So I pray that you will continue to prepare your hearts and your mind for just what God has for us this morning. Bless you. Amen.
Hi, y'all. This morning, our time of worship and song, we're going to just focus on lifting up the name of the Lord and exalting him as he deserves. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks to the Philippians about having the mind of Christ, and he describes in some ways the sacrifice that the Lord made for us. And so I'm just going to read starting in chapter 2. So this is Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so we're just going to sing this morning and lift his name on high and acknowledge the sacrifice that he has made for us so that we may have life and have it eternal in him, despite our sins, in spite of our sins and our shortcomings. Amen.
I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. He came, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Hallelujah. Just take a moment now and lift his name on high right where you are. You can clap your hands. You can sing your own song of praise. You can just shout hallelujah. But God, we just honor you and thank you and praise you for who you are and appreciate the gift and the sacrifice that you made by sending your son down from heaven to earth, from earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave and the grave to the sky, so that we would not have to suffer the consequences of our sins. And we're just going to continue to lift him up and exalt him, as the word says.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high, and I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name.
Sing it with me.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high, and I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. For He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted.
Now we're going to make it personal. So everywhere it says He is exalted, we're going to sing You are exalted. And where it sings about the King or the Lord, we're going to say My King, My Lord. Just make it personal. You can close your eyes unless you need to look at the words and then continue to do that. We're just going to sing this to God this morning.
You are exalted, my King, You're exalted on high, and I will praise You. You are exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise Your name. For You exalted, my King, You're exalted on high, and I will praise You. You are exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise Your name. For You on high.
Certainly the words are true. He is the Lord, and forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted. The King is exalted on high. We are so thankful just for the opportunity, God, to exalt your name on high. There is no God like you in all the heaven and in all the earth. There's nobody who can save as you save, deliver as you deliver, set free as you set free. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We exalt you for who you are, not just what you do, but we exalt you for who you are. You alone are God. You alone are God. We thank you for who you are in this place. Just open up your mouth and thank God for who he is in this place. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We worship you. We adore you. We align our lives with you, dear God. Help our hearts to be aligned with your heart. Help our words to be your words. Help our thoughts to be your thoughts, dear God. We thank you for who you are. May our lives point to you. May others look at us and consider who you are in this earth. God, we thank you for who you are. We exalt your name on high. We lift up no other name, dear God. We exalt your name on high. We put all of our confidence in you. When we look to the hills from whence comes our strength and our help comes from the Lord. We thank you for who you are in this place. Give him glory, family. Give him glory. And not just today with our lips, but also throughout all of our days. Give him glory, for he is deserving of it. We are so grateful to be gathered here today. We thank Lady Rochelle just for her time of leading us in worship. It's so great to be with you, family. I see all those who are here. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, if this is your first time joining us today, we just say welcome. We are so happy that you are here. We are so grateful that God saw it fit to convince you or encourage you or some kind of way, you making yourself with us this morning. So bless you, bless you, bless you. And family, I just thank you also for being here. It's not always easy to get up and to make your way somewhere. But I thank you and I pray that our time together in the presence of the Lord would be encouraging and would be refreshing to you. Right now, we're going to I just want to open up with a scripture, which is 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. So I'll put it on the, do I have it to put it on the screen? I'll put it on the screen. But if you have it as well, you can go ahead and pull it up. So, and as we just work through the Word of God this morning, I'm used to the Black Church Experience being interactive. So go ahead and put stuff in the chat. Let one another know, let your neighbor know that you are here and happy to see them and be with them this morning. Amen. Just thank God for who he is in this place. We are continuing our series, Second Wind. Second Wind. And this is a scripture that I would like to open with. It is 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. And if you can, go ahead and write that in the chat if anybody's looking for it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, his spiritual son. This is Paul speaking by a written letter to Timothy. And Paul placed Timothy in Ephesus to instill in the church sound teachings and practices. Here in our text, the Apostle Paul is mid-instruction. We jump in mid-instruction, guiding Timothy on what guidance to provide the people to strengthen the church body in the faith. And we pick up in this book of 2 Timothy, the second chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. And we find these words. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20, but in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Today, family, I just want to begin by saying that pastoring you, shepherding you under the good shepherd Jesus Christ, as an under shepherd of Jesus Christ, is a good work. Being a husband and father in the image of Christ and God the Father is a good work. Pastoring you is a good work for which it is my divine privilege to put in effort to present myself a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful, and prepared for the master. For the master's every good work for me. I am aware of occasions throughout my life where I distinctly needed to make a decision whether or not I would present myself to be a vessel for dishonor or present myself to be a vessel for honor, useful for the master. I am grateful to God for his grace and his mercy toward me that gives me the strength and the stamina to remain fighting within me to be diligent to present myself approved to God. Our opening text for today that you can turn to, we have two opening texts, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, and Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And here we have these words. 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning at the 13th verse, continuing to the 14th verse, we find these words. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning at verse 13 into verse 14. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at the first verse to the third verse, reads, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Our topic for today, brothers and sisters, is recover. Recover. As in recover from a moment of sin or a life of sin. Recover. Keep living in the light. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says, speaking to the Israelite people, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Recover, keep living in the light. Please think about, and I'll ask you about this later, please think about what are some of the hurdles to recovering from a sinful act or a life of sin? What are some of the hurdles recovering from a sinful act or a life of sin? Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to walk in your light. We thank you very much that even like for the children of Israel, how you called them out of darkness and into your marvelous light, so too have you called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And God, we recognize the reality is sometimes we are tempted or we go back into the darkness. And God, just for the time today, we pray that you will do all that you purpose to do. Help us to hear what you would have us to hear. Help us to know what you would have us to know. Help us to learn what you would have us to learn. God, this is your time that we specially dedicate to you, that coming out of this time together, we might know more of who you are, and that we might know more of who we are in you, and ultimately look more like you. God, it's not about me. Hide me behind your cross. And do all that you purpose to do in this place, even in spite of me, Lord Jesus. Remove me out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, as I think about our time together this morning, I want to serve you in ministry in a way that works. This topic is an important topic. I recognize that temporarily or permanently from discouragement and or from frustration, trying to leave one's walk with Christ or not starting a surrendered walk with Christ is a real temptation. And it is a temptation that demands of each person a response. I don't want to put things on God that God never said. Interestingly, when one of you mentioned to me that it would be nice to talk about how to recover from sin because enough churches, etc., talk mainly about how not to sin, but not necessarily about how to recover from sin. And when I heard that very clearly, almost too clearly, I thought I heard within myself, "Oh, Orlando, you could talk about that. You have a lot of experience recovering from sin." And I remember in my mind, you know, it was one of those occasions where I'd rather not be the experienced person, where I'd rather have much less experience in a particular topic. Nonetheless, I believe that God has given us opportunity and that God was speaking to me and encouraging me to be helpful to you in ways that God has helped me. So today's message, recover, keep living in the light. In our opening text, we pick up on the end of a conversation. And actually, it was a divine confrontation. God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David about David's sin. God was making known to David just how egregious David's sin was. If you are unfamiliar with the story, I encourage you to read it soon, especially 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. And if you are familiar with the story, I encourage you to read it soon to become even more familiar. Jesus, speaking with his disciples, said, Matthew recorded it in Matthew 15, chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses and blasphemies." And David, King David, at that time committed a number of these things. The stripped down narrative about King David is that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed to cover up David's sin. And that the murder of Uriah was after a previous failed attempt of David to cover up his sin. So David sinned, tried to cover up his sin, and when that cover up failed, David had killed the man from whom he took so much, rather than David owning how much damage was done, how much damage was done to numerous people and was done to God. Sin is primarily a wrong relationship with God. Sin is portrayed in scripture in terms of a wrongness before God. So sin is primarily a wrong relationship with God, and it may express itself in wrong attitudes or wrong actions towards God himself or towards other human beings, possessions, or the environment. And scripture stresses to us that the condition of sin is deeply rooted in human nature, and that only God is able to break its penalty, its power, and its presence. There are several kinds of sin. There is a sin of omission, which is when we knowingly sin. So a sin of omission is when I sin knowingly I omit doing something that I know that I should do? Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23:23, he said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And so God, Jesus is telling them, you are upholding part of what I ask you to do, but there are other parts that you are conveniently leaving undone. So there is the sin of omission. There are also deliberate sins. These are sins for when I knowingly do something. I knowingly take actions that I know are not right before God. And in Romans, Paul says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So Paul is calling people out. And he says, not only, he said, the people know the righteous judgment of God, but they practice these things anyway that are deserving of death. And not only do they practice these sins, but they cheer on or they approve of others who also practice them. So there are the sins of omission, there are the deliberate sins, and then there are the unintentional sins. These are sins when I unknowingly or I unaware that I am wrong before God. And these still have a consequence. And then there is the sin against the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin in Matthew chapter 3, verse 28. And so David sinned big time. And God took David's sin personally. And God made clear to David that what David's transgression was. God forgives David. And David is in biological lineage. So this is the part that I want us to see, that God forgives David. And David continues in the biological lineage through which Jesus comes. And this narrative with David is proof that one can divinely recover from sin. And David's story is also proof that sin still has devastating consequences. Sin has numerous effects on the individual. Sin has numerous effects on the individual. It has effects on my personal relationship with other people. It has effects on my relationship with the environment. Sin has effects on my relationship with God. David chose not to rely on God, but to take his own path. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. King David abused his power in committing adultery and also in having Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. David betrayed the loyalty of Uriah because Uriah was not just some random guy, but Uriah was one of David's mighty men of valor. Uriah would go out into battle to protect David, and he would give up his life for David. And David sinned against him. Bathsheba was sinned against, and both she and David lost their newborn son. The reality is that sin can be so tough because we can lose so much. And whether or not we are sinned against or whether or not we commit the sin, in both scenarios, we can lose so much. Uriah lost his wife, and then Uriah lost his life. Before God, in my sin, I am a couple of things. One, I am unclean. We read earlier Jesus saying that it's what comes out of the heart that makes me unclean and defiles me. Thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, foolishness, pride, lewdness, deceit. Before God and my sin, I'm also guilty. If you remember in Genesis, Adam, when he ate the forbidden fruit in Genesis 3:10, God was calling for Adam. Adam, where are you? And Adam replied and said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So in my sin before God, I am guilty. But also in my sin, I am separated from God. Isaiah 59 talks about, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that God will not hear. So when the author of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, I recognize that sin is a pretty big snare. That sin in my life is a pretty significant snare, by far the biggest snare in my life. Yet in our series, Second Wind, we are talking about how to keep running the race. And in today's case, how to move forward in the life with Christ, how to recover from sin in order to keep living in the light, God's light. Now here's the dangerous part for any minister of the word during this time, those who are speaking and you're delivering a message. Here's the dangerous part, which is congregation participation. All right, but I'm going to take a risk with you. What are some of the hurdles to recovering from a sinful act or a life of sin? If you could write this in the chat, what are some of the hurdles to recovering from a sinful act or a life of sin? Now pause a moment and see what you put in. What are some of the hurdles? For a sinful act or a life of sin. Thank you for writing the question. What are some of the hurdles to recovering from a sinful act or a life of sin? Shame, lack of confession, lack of seeking help for shame, from shame or fear of judgment. So the shame or the fear of judgment can prevent one from confession or seeking help. Thinking that change isn't possible. Pride. Being unaware, not knowing that it is sin, can prevent one from recovering from sin. Hopelessness, defeat, not knowing who to tell. Amen. Bad company. Everybody around me is doing it. Amen. For me, I wrote down... On occasion, I could wait too long to address the sin in my life. I should have nipped it in the bud when it was a seed and it just showed up in my heart. Defeatist mentality. Becoming desensitized. Amen. When I look back on my own life, I remember holding misconceptions about sin. And this is just from my own life. You may have additional misconceptions or different misconceptions. But one of the misconceptions that I held about sin is that I can't help but to sin. And I thought that it's just within me to sin. And it is true that within my flesh desires sin. But it is also true that Jesus is my way out. So we might remember from scripture that Paul talked about how there was a war going on between the flesh and the spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, very interesting, Paul said, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead would also give life to your mortal bodies. So yes, it is true that my flesh still wants to sin, but for me to say that I can't help but for sin, Paul said, look, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. So this is not just any power, but it's the power that was able to bring Jesus from death to life. He said, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, that he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to my mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in me, and that I'm not a debtor to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And we get the Spirit of God by asking for the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation, so there is temptation, but no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. See, my problem was, I remember hearing from some people say, you know, God won't tempt you beyond what you can bear. And that if I just waited out or if I just tried to resist the temptation that I would be okay. But the rest of the scripture says something different. It says, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. So true that my flesh desires sin. But Jesus is my way out. And that the way I get out of sin is by looking for the way of escape that God provides me. My misconception about sin was that I can't help but to sin. I also had the misconception that it was worth sinning. That it was worth it to sin. Now, come on now. Don't look at me like that. Now, you might have had that same misconception that you said to yourself, it's worth it just this one time. Now, when I mean it was worth it to sin, I don't necessarily just mean or even mean that that is worth to enter into that act. Because the reality is most of us who are honest about ourselves, who have committed an act of sin, recognize that we have this hungover effect. We're not necessarily feeling good about it at the end. We know something is wrong, even if we don't know everything that is wrong. And so it's not necessarily the case that sin feels good because immediately after the fact, there's this hungover effect. But when I say that it's worth it to sin, I have said to myself that trying to live righteous before God can get you killed. Trying to live righteous before God can get me ostracized. Trying to live righteous before God can get me canceled, if we're to use the words that people use today. Recognizing that today people don't talk about sins half as much as they talk about folk trying to be saints. But I'm reminded of what the Apostle Peter clarified for me. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 17, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So Peter is saying you're going to suffer for both. You can suffer for doing evil and you can suffer for doing good, but it is much better to suffer for doing good than it is to suffer for doing evil. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Jesus was saying that you're in good company because they did it to the prophets before you. They're doing it to me and they will do it to you. So some of my misconceptions about sin was one, I can't help it. Two, it's worth it to sin. But I also said that everybody is doing it, meaning nobody is living righteous. But Elijah complained to God about this same thing. And God said, there are 7,000 people who I have preserved who have not bowed their knee to Baal. But there's also a misconception about God, that God can't forgive what I've done, that my sin is so bad that I'm beyond God's reach. I've also said that God won't forgive what I've done. He can do it, but he won't do it. And then I've also said that God helped me, but it didn't work. That God forgave me and saved me, but it didn't stick. And the reality is that God did save our souls and we still have this flesh. But there's going to come a time that even though right now the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh, that God's going to give us a new body. And the incorruptible is going to swallow the corruptible flesh and is going to set us free in Jesus. We're going to have final victory where everything is made new. But this, saints, is the good news. Number one, that God can do it. That God can do it. As we close, I want to help provide some hope by reading to you this story and just pointing out three things. This is a story recorded by the physician Luke in chapter 19. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed. But he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He is gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' But this is Jesus' response. Then Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Lord, look, I give half of all of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost.'" The good news about falling into sin is that God can do it. God can forgive us of our sins. When the people asked God, "Who can forgive sins?" there was a scenario where Jesus saw a paralytic man in Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus said to him, "Your sins are forgiven you." And the people said, "Who can forgive sins but God?" And then Jesus said, "Well, what is it harder to do, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say pick up your bed and walk?" And the answer is, it's harder to heal somebody right there in the natural and say pick up your bed and walk. But Jesus said pick up your bed and walk. The man picked up his bed and he walked. And Jesus said, "This is so you can know that the Son of Man is able to forgive sins." The good news today is that God is able to forgive us for every transgression that we have committed against him. And the real news is that God will do it. Zacchaeus was somebody who was looked down upon. And he was a tax collector. So he was even put in a different category than other sinners. But Zacchaeus cheated people. Zacchaeus charged people more than he should. Zacchaeus abused his power. And he was walking in lawlessness before God. But not only did God step into his scenario and call him forward, but God forgave him and God offered him salvation. So not only can God do it, but the real news is that God will do it. And the more good news is that God is available to you today. So sometimes we get into a scenario and we are unsure whether God can save us. We are unsure if God would save us. And we are unsure whether we are too late. But the reality is that God's word is true, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the repentance that leads us back into relationship with God. God loves you so much right now that just like Zacchaeus, just like David, he is willing to step into your situation to show you where you have departed paths from him and to leave you an avenue to restore your relationship back with him. Repentance is turning my heart to follow after God instead of in my heart following after my own way or following after the world. And the way that we recover from sin is by committing ourselves to follow after who God is. And God is available to you. He told the believers, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, I will come in with you and I will dine and sup with you. God will make habitation in your heart and in your life. And you may be standing here or you may be listening at some point and saying, I've gone too far. But if you can hear my voice right now, this is God speaking to you and saying, I love you and you have not gone too far and you can still recover the purpose for which I have for you. I am reminded that if God can do it for Bathsheba, and even though she lost so much and it was at the hand of someone abusing power, if she can be in the lineage of Jesus, then God can restore me and continue me to walk along his path and in his light. If God can restore David, if God can restore Peter, if God can restore Zacharias, if God can heal the paralyzed man, if God can do it for Paul, then God can do it for me and God can do it for you. He is no respecter of persons, but his grace is sufficient. His love is abundant. And I'll close with this sentence. It's 1 John. What is the one that I want to read? It says that even if we sin, that God has made himself available to us, that he is the propitiation for our sin, and that even though we have gone astray, he is willing to lead us forward, that we don't have to go this alone, but he is willing to bring us all of the way. And when it says that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, it means that God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll do it. And you can believe that if you confess your sin to him, that if you call out to him, he will save you. I want to give us a moment just to meditate on a song that's here. It's an original song, and I invite Lady Rochelle to come down, but it's an original song by Aaron Miller. And Aaron just talks about who God is in his life and what it means or what it has meant to turn away from sin and to ask God for help. And it's called Change Me. The scripture I was looking for is 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The way we recover from sin and the way we keep walking forward in the light of God's love is to respond similarly to how Zacchaeus responded. When you see Jesus walking by your life, and in this moment, Zacchaeus is just doing what he's been doing, but he acknowledges that hope is walking by. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus is hope for a better day, hope for a better life, a better future, hope for a right life before Christ. And as he walks by, reach out and grab him. Respond to his call to you. Maybe this time right now is like hope walking by. Is Jesus calling out to you and extending to you his hand? Leave what you're doing and go follow him. I asked Lady Rochelle right now to lead us in the song, We've Come This Far by Faith. And you can also think about what prayer requests you have and be prepared to put them in the chat and we can pray. But we have come this far by faith. Recognize it is not an easy journey, but it's been a worthwhile journey. Thank you so much. Certainly, we have come this far by faith. I have kept you over, and I thank you for your patience. There's so much to talk about on this topic that I wrote down and needed longer to go through, but God is faithful. I will make the notes available to you to have the scriptures. I thank you for writing the prayer requests in the chat. You can keep doing so. Tonight at 9:15 p.m. we have a family prayer call on Zoom. You can go to the calendar and find the link. And I just recognize the need to intercede for all that's going on. And we know that God is able and that God is willing and that God is a loving and an available God to us. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for being Lord. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your love toward us. God, we thank you that your son Jesus did not just die for our sins, but he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. And through that, dear God, I don't have to be a slave to my flesh and to sin, but I can turn and walk according to the Spirit and live unto you. God, I know that you know the times that we fall down and the times that we don't move forward, or I don't move forward in the things that you have called us to. But I thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that if I just call out to you, I will be saved. God, we thank you for the opportunity to reach out to you. God, I pray even now wholeness for everyone here, dear Lord, everyone under the sound of my voice, wholeness in you, that we will be complete in you, that we will be satisfied in you, that we will not thirst after the things of this world, but that you will satisfy us with water and from a well that never runs dry. God, go before your people this week. Make their path straight, dear Lord. I pray that you would strengthen them in every way in the name of Jesus. Let them go not in their own strength, but in your strength. Do for them all that you purpose to do, dear God. Bring glory from their lives. Give them your peace. Give them your joy. Give them your divine favor. And be in their relationships and with their family also. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, thank you so much.